Welcome into the big show on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And coming up, we're going to talk about President Biden, his big speech. It was, by all accounts, a fairly successful tour of Europe up until the last possible moment when the president goes off script, delivers a speech. It's the speech heard around the world. So we will unpack President Biden's last minute off-the-cuff speech last night.
Plus, diplomacy talks will begin in between Ukraine and Russia. We'll discuss. It seems like both sides are kind of moving the ball a little to save face, but are willing to speak of the end of the conflict.
And we're going to talk about those Oscars because, yes, Will Smith, obviously trending. That's the big story. But just like a larger discussion about like these award shows, Hollywood egos, Hollywood glad handing. Is this like with last night sort of the final, like the nail in the coffin for these ridiculous awards shows? All of that as Morning Invest starts right now.
Well, we hope you are subscribed to our newsletter. It's morninginvest.com. That is a free newsletter. It comes to your inbox every day with lots of news, even more news than we have in this show. In this show, we break down major topics, but the newsletter is chock-a-block full of more.
That's right. So go to morninginvest.com and subscribe. Again, it's totally free. We should also mention, we'll have a little tease coming up here later in the show, but we'll talk a little bit more about it, but we are going to be moving the time of this show, and a whole bunch of things are going to be changing with this show. And earlier in our pre-show, someone says, you know, hey, this, I've been with you guys since the beginning. The show hasn't really changed at all. Like you guys, you know, there's people say that maybe it's changed a little bit. Now I'm going to actually drop a big change on you.
Yes.
So I kind of said, but anyway, yes.
It's huge.
It is huge. We are going to, should we mention the time slot? So the time slot is going to switch. A lot of things are going to change. The content won't. It'll be more highly focused on what we cover here, but the time slot will change. The production will change. A lot of big changes coming up.
Yes, so we're just moving the show later in the day. We still hope you will join us and the show will still be available on demand. It's a scheduling thing and we appreciate you being patient and flexible and we welcome your comments on it as well.
And it'll be a new channel. It'll be new. I mean, it'll be a new name. A lot of stuff is going to happen here. So we're really excited about it just coming up. So allow us these sort of growing pains over the next few days and weeks as we get all of this switched around here.
Yes, so we hope to see all the same familiar names, but we realize you have a life too. So we hope that it will. Arlene Maros wants to know what time. Specifically, the time is.
Yes, can we should we say? I guess we should say it.
It's going to be 4 p.m. Eastern.
No.
No?
Well, yes. Is
what time am I Eastern? Showing up?
No.
What time are you going to be?
What do you want me?
It's 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern.
Right. Yes. Yes. Right? I think we should figure this out before we just blat out. Yeah. There's a 5-hour time difference. What's 9 minus 5?
4.
Right. Okay, so 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, I was under the pressure it was 2. Okay, so 1.
Yes. You guys, we will make it known as soon as we agree. Clearly, we weren't on the same page.
Well, because anyway. Daylight savings time messes up the whole thought process of time.
Yes.
Well, now we're back on the shifting back to a 2-hour or like 5-hour difference. So, yes, you checking it out?
Well, right. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a 5-hour time difference. So yeah, anyway, bottom line is we'll get it all nailed down for you. Just wanted to give you a tease here so that when we kind of on Friday, when we tell you about it, we don't want you to say, oh, you guys are just April Fool's joking us. No April Fool's joke. So we are in the process of totally revitalizing and stepping things up here to another level.
You know why this is? It's because my mother-in-law is coming to visit and we need the full day to take
<That's right.
laughs> we want to make her as comfortable as possible.
So you guys mark your calendar. It's going to be 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, and that's going to start next Monday.
Next Monday.
Next Monday. Yep. That's the goal.
The 4th of April.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, again.
We hope that works for you. We hope to still see you. And again, we do read your comments post-show. So, okay.
All right.
Speaking of,
and that will be a permanent change, just so people know, because Ula's, is that temporary? No, it's going to be permanent.
It's going to be permanent, and we think it'll be allow us to do a lot better work here and the whole nine yards. So, yes. Okay. All right, we start today with an off-the-cuff remark by President Biden. You know, often I think you find the most revealing comments when the president of the United States goes off the cuff, right? When they take that script and they tear it up. We got a lot of revealing comments from President Obama, from President Clinton, mostly from President Trump. And mostly they end up being good or really giving you some insight into a president's thinking. Well, this weekend, President Biden went off the script as his last major speech in Europe. See if you can spot this moment. I'm going to play about a minute and a half's worth of this. See if you can spot the moment where the president went off the rails. And the reverberations this morning are enormous around the world.
Putin has the gall to say he's denazifying Ukraine. It's a lie. It's just cynical. He knows that. And it's also obscene. President Zelensky was democratically elected. He's Jewish. His father's family was wiped out in the Nazi Holocaust. And Putin has the audacity, like all our autocrats before him, to believe that might will make right. There's simply no justification or provocation for Russia's choice of war. It's an example of one of the oldest human impulses, using brute force and disinformation to satisfy a craving for absolute power and control. It's nothing less than a direct challenge to the rule-based international order established since the end of World War II. These international sanctions are sapping Russian strength, its ability to replenish its military, and its ability to project power. And it is Putin, it is Vladimir Putin who is to blame, period. Don't even think about moving on one single inch of NATO territory. We have sacred obligation. We have a sacred obligation under Article 5 to defend each and every inch of NATO territory with the full force of our collective power. In this battle, we need to be clear-eyed. This battle will not be won in days or months either. We need to steel ourselves for the long fight ahead. A dictator bent on rebuilding an empire will never erase a people's love for liberty. Brutality will never grind down their will to be free. Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia. For free people refuse to live in a world of hopelessness and darkness. We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principle, hope and light, of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
Well, you said the quiet part out loud, sir.
Yeah. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power. So the White House this morning is on full damage control. So that was the moment off script. They said this was not part of his prepared remarks. And this, a lot of, you know, there are a lot of Western leaders who've come together over the past 24 hours to say this undid a lot of the work that we did here over the past few days.
I think, though, for just kind of colloquially speaking, some may wonder what's so bad about this, right? Like everyone kind of thinks it, everyone who in the West who feels like Russia's bad, Ukraine's good. So why can't you say this? Because, can you explain a little diplomacy?
Well, you just cannot have it's never been the position of the American government to push for a regime change. Publicly. Now, like, don't get me wrong.
Right.
See, we have all done this behind the scenes. It's absolutely been something that we've been doing for generations.
Absolutely.
Behind the scenes, whether in Cuba or in Libya, it doesn't matter. But to say it out loud is just something you don't say. So it's the hypocrisy of it at the end of the day.
Because we want to believe that all elections are independent.
Right.
Right? And that we do not meddle in placing leaders in foreign lands.
Right, that we don't meddle in your foreign elections. We don't meddle in who is leading your country. We don't get involved in that. But absolutely we do. So then
what we're parsing out words today is, does it matter? He just sort of said something that he got carried away about. He feels it, but that's not the official position of the United States. Well, now diplomats are scrambling to say that's not really what he meant. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is saying, well, no, the president just doesn't want this man to be empowered to continue attacking people.
This is my favorite parsing of this.
I think the president, the White House, made the point last night that, quite simply, President Putin cannot be empowered to wage war or engage in aggression against Ukraine or anyone else. As you know, and as you've heard us say repeatedly, we do not have a strategy of regime change in Russia or anywhere else for that matter.
What? Mm. Yes, we do.
What? So it's just empowering. We just don't want to empower him. That's what he was trying to say.
It's not that he can't be in power. It's that he can't be empowered by what he has done as of late.
So Emmanuel Macron coming out saying that this is a huge problem. Like, this is we do not agree with this position. French President Emmanuel Macron, we don't believe in this. And we are worried about these sort of escalations now after this criticism from Biden of Vladimir Putin, this idea that, well, we were just pushing for a ceasefire, right? And you have to wonder if this is all orchestrated, because over the weekend, I don't know if you heard, there's a lot of, like, on Meet the Press and Chuck Todd and others, basically, like, oh, we're talking about peace now. We're having a discussion about peace talks, and Chuck Todd saying, well, these peace talks, anytime you have peace talks are uncomfortable. And then he has a senator sitting there saying, oh, yeah, you know, it's uncomfortable when you have peace talks. Like, mm-hmm. Really? So it's uncomfortable for the Western media to talk about peace, because God knows they want war. They love this endless coverage of war. CNN's ratings have been bonkers as a result of the war. They were in the toilet. They were in the toilet before the war, and now they're back. You know, that now they're back being strong again, thanks to this war in Ukraine.
President Macron last week was shaking hands with President Biden, standing firm with NATO, posing for the picture, what have you. But now it seems that he's poised to speak with Vladimir Putin, president of Russia. So he is still willing to have conversations with Russia, even though. And so it's interesting, because why did President Biden even bother to go to Europe? When, you know, to show that, like, NATO has common ground, NATO has common goals, we're all in this together. President Biden will not meet with Putin, but it seems like some European leaders still hold out hope for diplomacy, which is why they're fine to pose for a picture with President Biden. But then when he leaves and he says something stupid, they're like, well, we still don't. We're not going to do exactly what he says. We're still going to look out for our best interest. So it was interesting that that was sort of the ending, that that's the taste on which this European tour ends. I also think it's interesting. He's in Warsaw, Poland, and speaking in this, like, really highly polished place,
right,
to refugees. Like, do they need that? Do they need a speech from a diplomat, you know?
No, they need soup.
Right.
They need soup and blankets.
I'm kind of like, what is this place that refugees are sitting there, like, cold and huddled with their children and missing their husbands who are not allowed to leave, but they want to listen to the pontification of an American leader? I thought it was bizarre theater.
Yeah, and it was, you have to know the staging involved in that, right?
Of, like, course.
Look, you're going to be on camera. We're going to do some cutaway shots of you on camera, so we want you to look sad. Like, we want to stage everything so that it looks meticulous. This is going to be in front of millions of people on camera. So
yeah,
we want you to look like you haven't eaten in a few days.
And but, when he says freedom,
I haven't eaten in a few days. I know, but we just want to make sure you look like you haven't eaten in a few days.
Right.
So we're not going to give you any food until after the speech.
Applause line is freedom.
Meanwhile, there's the way that Western media is playing this right now is that Vladimir Putin is on the run. Is Vladimir Putin on the run? Like, we need to play, like, Band on the Run by, like, Paul McCartney. So the Western media over the past 24 hours has been saying that Vladimir Putin, now realizing that Ukraine is unattainable for him, Russia is now saying it's going to scale back its Ukrainian invasion forces to focus on liberating the eastern Donbas region of Ukraine. That, and in order to save face, that's what they're going to do after losing 20 battalions, they say. But Western intelligence warns that it could all be a part of a trap. But I love these headlines, though. Is Putin on the run? And if you dig more deeply into this, what are the Russian leaders saying this morning? Is that they are looking to focus on the Donbas region. But that's what they've always been saying.
And that's where they started, right? And that moving into the Donbas region was a fairly low-hanging fruit. They did it to begin with, right?
Right.
And nobody thought that they would move further beyond that, but they did. So it seems like the Western media, at least, is framing this as if, well, you know, they're just going to take what they knew was readily available and they'll call it a win because they do seem to not be able to easily overtake other populated areas of Ukraine that are not pro-Russian. Is that true then?
I'd love to hear people in our chat about this, because a lot of people are saying, I don't believe that that's the case at all. Like that Putin's on the run, that these, that he's in retreat now. And maybe that's the case. It's been very difficult to get accurate assessments of what's been going on there in this region. When you have the Western media, which lies for a living, pouring out false and disinformation about what's happening. You have, of course, the Russian disinformation campaign from Russia on Putin's side. Mm-hmm. It's like two disinformation campaigns colliding, you know, two liars yelling at each other. I don't believe Putin, you know, but pay attention to what he said all along, right? The denazification of the east of Ukraine, but specifically those ethnic Russian areas, which have been under attack for many, many years. A violation of the Minsk agreements, a violation of the accords that they had set in place. These ethnic Russians who have been killed for the last many, many years, thousands of them. So when they've been people fleeing the borders, hundreds of thousands of these ethnic Russians have fled into Mother Russia to get out of this. They didn't go to Poland. They went the opposite way because they felt safer. And so this this is what Putin has said all along was going to be a protection of these regions. And now maybe that's the case. There's a scaling back, but maybe this was always the plan.
Right.
But the way the Western media, of course, is painting it is Putin's on the run. He can't handle it anymore.
Well, you heard in the president's speech, he just said that Putin saying that he was liberating Ukraine from Nazis was a lie, and Putin knew it was a lie. Whereas the United Nations had admitted before this conflict that Nazis in Ukraine were a problem and had been asking Ukraine to deal with this for several years now. So that piece of it does not seem to be a lie. Russian Defense Ministry updated their losses in Ukraine. They say they've lost about 1,300 soldiers in the conflict. Ukraine says that is wrong to the order to a magnitude of 10. They're saying it's around 15,000 body count. We have no way of knowing, right? That Russia now is saying 3,825 soldiers have been wounded, whereas Ukraine is putting that at about twice the amount of deaths. So at this stage of the game, who knows?
Lee Curtis in our chat says, I don't believe Putin will really turn tail and run. He will wait till things die down and then strike even harder. You might be right about that. Irish in Twitch says, I think we're getting disinformation from many areas, not just the United States and Russia.
Agree.
Absolutely the case.
Yes.
It's not just United States and Russia. We're seeing it from European countries providing disinformation as well. You're also seeing censorship at a large scale. I mean, try getting access to RT News or mm-hmm. Sputnik News or any in the European Union, and you'll be shut down to get access to those sources. They've already put a clamp down on that. So has social media. So getting information, really one of the few ways that you can actually get some information is through Telegram or other social media channels, specifically Telegram channels right now. A lot of soldiers have been posting information on their Telegram channels and sharing it to social media that way, because at least that way can't be blocked or clamped down upon. So that's how a lot of this information is actually getting out and then trickling its way out to Twitter,
right,
before Twitter censors certain things as well.
Well, I mean, you could also spin it to say that Ukraine is on the run, because Ukraine has started to say that we are willing to declare ourselves neutral. Leaders from Ukraine and Russia are going to meet in Istanbul, Turkey, within the next day or so, and who knows how long that meeting will take. But they are saying, okay, the neutrality thing, not off the table. We will consider it now, or at least that's so, you know.
Yeah, but is that the case though? Because what's interesting is, like, So like Zelensky comes out and he makes this concession to say, and he's really sending mixed messages right now. And as Kyle Anzalone reports over at antiwar.com, he says the Ukrainian leader said he was open to compromise on the country's Donbas region. Then he said he would prioritize territorial integrity of Ukraine. So, okay, we're willing to concede Donbas to Putin for peace. But wait a second, now we're not. So who got in his ear? I have to say, I believe it's Western leaders who want a continuation of this proxy war. If there's an end to this, Putin goes home, Donbas is now under Russian control, then that's it. Then the United States
for
doesn't,
now.
Doesn't have
I mean,
its
that's it
war.
For now, right? That's what the United States is worrying about. Is just, you know, 8 years ago there was Crimea. Now there's Donbas. Like, what is next? Because there can continue to be a spread of Western separatism. So who knows, right? But it does seem like at least the convoy, the leaders that were moving into Istanbul for this meeting, did say the word neutrality. We're okay with it. We will think on it. It's a maybe. It's like when your kids ask if you can go to the movies this weekend. That's a maybe, right? We'll see when
but
we get there.
You promised us.
No, there's
mommy.
No promises in war or parenting. Right. This is why I almost never make promises.
He said earlier on CNN, he said there was a willingness to negotiate about giving up territory. Last week, he told CNN, there are compromises for which we cannot be ready as an independent state. Any compromises related to our territorial integrity and our sovereignty. He later then, that's the statement that he made and said that he took that further and saying, look, before we have any sort of, I guess you don't want to give up your land before you actually have a formal meeting. Like you don't want to, you don't give up your negotiating tactic before you sit down at the table.
Right.
You know, perhaps, and maybe that's where Moscow is demanding that Ukraine recognize the Crimean Peninsula as Russian. And then of course the Donbas republics as well. And seeing whether or not President Zelensky goes along with that. If he comes out ahead of this meeting and says, we're willing to do that, then what do you actually get in a meeting if you already know your other position? You already know
position. What they say in the press is not necessarily what they're going to negotiate with. Who knows at this point, right? Yeah. This is what we think, but it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. Again, Moscow. So Zelensky stated his openness to a compromise in a 90-minute video call with Russian media. We'll see, again, as this meeting comes up, we'll have more on that as we look at whether or not Putin is actually on the run, whether or not there is peace talks. But again, the Western media absolutely does not want this now.
But it does seem to be there's an end in sight for the war in Ethiopia after 16 bloody months. The government there has declared a humanitarian truce with rebel forces. We'll see if that ends the bloodshed. But this is just your reminder of an inconvenient truth that there are bloodier wars happening right now that also deserve our attention and our dollar donation on top of your grocery bill, if your grocery store like mine is asking for that.
I have to say I was down at a center part of our city where there's normally an enormous flag of the country that we live in flying above, right? And in its replace of the country that we live in, its flag is replaced with a giant Ukrainian flag flying over.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we know
but
where
this morning I was in the grocery store and there was a sign that said, due to Visa and MasterCard's decisions to no longer work in Russia, any Russian-issued bank card will no longer be accepted. And I thought, what are these expats supposed to do then? They have to go get a... They can't even buy groceries for a conflict that has nothing to do with them. That's no fault of... It's just, if you don't accept your card, we can't accept your card. But what a cluster for people to try and just live their lives and who are not politicians.
Exactly. Well, here's some really frightening news. And this is... If there are children in the room, if you have any children listening to this part of the show, this is a really troubling part. And I want to include this in the show because, again, these are things you're not going to see in the mainstream media. You're not going to see this on CNN having discussions about this. But we cover these stories here because we want to bring them to you. And then you can make your own decisions about what you're seeing here. So there's been concerns over the past number of weeks that Ukrainian soldiers, upon capturing Russian soldiers, treating them as prisoners of war, that under the Geneva Conventions, of course, that you treat them with dignity, right? They are prisoners of war. There's no torturing, right? Now, of course, the United States was very keen on doing this during the Iraq War. Of course, that came back to bite them in the rear for torturing POWs as well. But you don't do this under the Geneva Convention. And so now there are videos surfacing from Russian soldiers, purported Russian soldiers, Ukrainian soldiers, making its way to social media. There's quite a number of threads that have popped up on Telegram, on Twitter and other places where these soldiers are being shot in the legs by Ukrainian soldiers after they're captured. So they are in the capture of Ukrainian soldiers. They are then prisoners of war. This would be a war crime. Okay. They've surrendered. They're in your control. And then you're shooting them in the legs. Now there's a couple of videos I'm going to show you here. I'll walk you through what we're seeing. This is again, so these soldiers are being shot in the legs after they've been captured. Okay, that's just one example. Okay, here's another example of these soldiers who are being held in captivity, tied up.
Говори давай, блядь.
Сука, говори.
Родственники у кого на Украине нет?
Откуда ты? Откуда, говорю? Говори, откуда?
Now again, you're not going to see this in the mainstream media. They're going to hide this from you. So upon these stories coming out, Vladimir Zelensky's main right-hand individual from his regime came out and issued a response to this. And I'll play a part of it. It's in Ukrainian, but then I will parse what he's saying here. This is the spokesperson for Zelensky. If I can play it here, and here it is. In response to these videos.
Дорогі друзі, триває 32-га доба активної фази російсько-української війни. Протягом доби стан положення та характер дій противника українських військ не змінився.
So what he released to say is, Zelensky advisors released a video reminding soldiers of the Ukrainian army to adhere to the Geneva Convention. So this prompted a response from the Zelensky regime. I would like to remind all of our military, civilian, and defense forces once again that the abuse of prisoners is a war crime that has no amnesty under military law and has no statute of limitations. Refer to the Russian POWs.
You don't have any other way of preventing that than a statement on Twitter?
Yeah, right. Like, you can't you make sure your commanders understand this?
And yes.
Yeah. Now there are, you know, there are a lot of questions as to like the veracity of these. So again, you can parse these if you want. Now the sort of like back and forth of these, this is a Russian who's saying the recent videos posted by a Russian propagandist is concerning. Now, these are Ukrainians saying this now. There are issues with what is shown, mainly related with regard to the alleged wounds. In the short video, it's obvious that there are no marks of any shooting in the right leg and no blood on the ground. But there are many, many of these videos. I only showed you just a few of these that have been surfacing. So again, we're in the fog of war. People are going to say what they're going to say. But this video I want to show you now is really, really troubling. There's no shooting involved. There's no shooting involved at all. But what you're going to see here is incredibly troubling. And I'll explain what you're seeing here in just a second.
Алло. Слава Україні.
Okay. So what you're seeing here is a Ukrainian soldier using the phone of a Russian soldier who was killed. Okay. Picking it up and calling the mom of that Russian soldier and the wife in the background as well. And he's smiling and saying that I have your son's phone.
Oh, no.
Слава Україні.
Ілюшин, смотри. Видишь, Ілюшин?
Слава Україні. Ілюші більше нет. Он заболел і умер. Все. Нет, Ілюша. Он заблудился? Заблудился. Это была первая его ошибка. Вторая была, он заблудился в Украине. А третья, последняя, он сдох, сука. Алло, что, вас там нет уже отключили? Россияне.
So calling the mother And the way that modern cell phones work, of course, presumably this soldier still perhaps had to be alive to do some sort of a touch ID or face unlock or something to get this person to unlock a phone.
Yes. Right?
To call the family of, I mean, pure, you know, absolute evil. But yeah. This exact type of thing falls under war crimes.
Yes.
Just even picking up a phone and telling a mom that I can't even show you your son anymore because there's nothing left of him. That was part of the discussion. I went through the transcript of this and just to save you from that. But we need to see this stuff. We can't just sweep these things under the rug.
Right.
You know, we love to have in the West, we love to get our chicken wrapped in cellophane. We don't like to see where it comes from. We like to get our war processed on CNN, and we don't like to see these things. And you like to get your sort of sanitized version of war. But this is what it looks like.
Yes, of course. War is always going to be messier than you think. I think that the important takeaway here is not, hey, Ukraine is a crappy place and, you know, we absolutely shouldn't be supporting it. I think most of us who, I even saw a comment just now in the chat, support the Ukrainian people. That's absolutely how we feel, support all people who are not actively involved in war or politics, who are having their lives disrupted by this, like this woman who's a mother, who obviously has nothing to do with what a president does, what a troops do, what a military does. So you can support people, but not support any regime at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I saw videos of Russian soldiers who were going to the front, calling home to say, I don't know what we're doing. Like, I don't know why we're even going into Ukraine. Yeah. I don't know what we're doing. And there's phone calls from Russian soldiers calling home to their wives saying, there was another tank battalion in front of us that was destroyed. We're literally being left hung out to dry because there's been all sorts of questions about where's the Russian Air Force? Like, mm-hmm. where's the Russian air cover and protecting these tanks as they're rolling into Ukraine? And so that was floating around. So the horrors of war, absolutely bad. Absolutely. As someone says, chills, just chills. And that's what this is.
Yes. But again, if I continue to refer to the book, The Gulf War Did Not Take Place, because this is a war of propaganda. And anytime we glob on to any one side that's being fed to us, we're doing exactly what they want. And our duty at this point is to support humans, irregardless, since we're allowed to use that word now, regardless of what country is on their birth certificate. We don't have to support regimes, but we should be supporting people.
All right, we've got more news to get to here on the show, if you can stomach it.
Okay, but first we'll tell you about our show sponsor over at ScoreMaster. The 3-week rule may be the best financial advice that we can ever achieve or give you. What is the 3-week rule? Well, it's wait 3 weeks to buy that new car, wait 3 weeks to refi your home mortgage, and wait 3 weeks to finance any major purchase that you need a loan for. Why 3 weeks? Because that's how fast the average ScoreMaster user takes to boost his or her credit score, an average of 61 points. And listen, 61 points added to your credit score can save you tens of thousands on everything that you finance. ScoreMaster technology was developed by credit data scientists to boost your credit score higher and faster than you thought possible. ScoreMaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started, and you don't have to wait months for your best credit score. Try ScoreMaster for free and see how many points you can add to your credit score by going to scoremaster.com/invest. That's scoremaster.com/invest. Again, one more time, scoremaster.com/invest.
All right. Our thanks to them. All right. Let's move on with the news. So President,
before we do, I want to address the comment that Gloria M. asked about our newsletter. So we've said that we are going to move the time of this show to later in the afternoon. The newsletter will still pop in at the same time of day. She's saying she will feel disconnected without it to wake up to. So yes, it is still our aim to have it there for you when you wake up. Thank you for asking that question.
And David was having trouble with his microphone, I think because his new studio that he built or moved to the garage was having
issues. I booted him.
Oh, Philip kicked him out. Philip pulled a Will Smith on him.
Yep, I slapped him down. No, he kept trying to come back in, and I don't know if you could hear, like, his microphone was just on a constant buzz, and it kept, every time he'd come in, it'd, like, blip the everything going on. I was like, nope, I'm done with you.
He's not camera ready.
All right.
Not camera.
Yeah,
ready.
He would pop in and it would go like really loud every time. So,
yeah, yeah, hopefully you didn't hear it, but I kept hearing and I was like, so.
Yeah, I could hear it, and I have a very low tolerance for minor annoyances. So I was like, nope.
Same.
Okay, let's talk about this new tax. So President Biden has maybe trying to change the page on this, what's happening in Ukraine right now, to put a focus back here at home on American suffering right now with extraordinary inflation prices, the price of gasoline, food items, food shortages. The list is endless right now for the American people. Mm-hmm. So what better way to tackle all of this pain that you're feeling than to place a new tax on billionaires? To me, this is like the biggest laughable thing. I mean, a ridiculous bit of showmanship, right?
Absolutely. The White House says by doing this, it will help reduce the deficit by about $360 billion in the next decade, according to the document. But whose fault is the deficit, right? The United States in the last 4 months has continued to raise the limit of debt that we're taking on because we just can't sustain it. So we're saying, well, we have to ask our highest earners to make that up, even though the government is spending out of control, right? You agreed to let us spend.
Right.
So we're going to tax more wealthy people. It does say that this will be 20% on full income, but they won't pay an additional tax under the proposal. So if they pay less than 20%, let's say you're coming in at about 18%, we'll just give some kind of top up payment to meet the new minimum, which is very perplexing to me. Because the highest earners are already in the high 30s. So how is a high earner paying less than 20% unless they're paying inside a business, right? So then you have to, if they have some kind of pass-through entity, then they're being taxed as a business, right? Because you own a business. But if you're paying on personal income and you already are a billionaire, there's no way to pay less than 20%. So the only way to really do this is to tax pass-through entities and therefore raise taxes on businesses. Am I missing something?
No. So if a wealthy household is already paying 20% of their full income, they won't pay additional tax under this proposal. They pay less than 20% and they'll owe a top-up payment to meet the new minimum. So like if you're Elon Musk.
Yes.
And he just sold shares. Right.
Right.
He just sold shares to pay taxes, which still I'm unclear about. Like,
which
why
he'll
he would have
pay
done
a capital gains on those.
Right.
And capital gains is 15%.
Right.
So then if there's something inside your income that you're paying less than, because he should be paying 39%, 38 to 30, well, whatever his tax bracket is, right? Let's
right.
say 39% on his income. But then if there's other income that he's paying just straight 15% capital gains, then we're going to up that? Or is it of all income? This is very perplexing. The White House is supposed to release more details on Monday. But it is pretty interesting
yeah.
of a proposal.
I mean, I just don't understand. So if you have, they're calling it the billionaire minimum income tax. Now, Philip, you fall into this. So
yes.
I know you're probably going to feel the pain of this. What do you plan to do? How are you going to change your lifestyle as a result of this?
Well, fortunately, I see this as a as virtue signaling. This is appealing to the masses essentially, because mm-hmm. they can say this, but it doesn't matter what the tax rate is on billionaires. It's all offshore. It's all through the shell companies. It's all, you know, like
right.
tax write offs through loans and stuff like that. There will be a net zero change when
right.
this happens, because if they're not going after the loopholes that allow people to do these things, if they're not actually taking care of the problem, then there's no issue. So me and all of my billions, we're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Philip is going to be fine. I don't, many of you don't know, but Philip is a billionaire. We just get his scraps. So, I think it speaks to the heart of the failure of our tax system to Congress, which is just trying to pander to, you know, to their base. We went after those billionaires. You know, you get Elizabeth Warren up there doing a press conference saying, you know, billionaires have to pay their fair share. So let me just be clear. look, I'm a progressive, right? And I absolutely believe in a fair tax system. I believe that workers should be paid a fair wage and protected and not walked on and trampled on and not being forced to pee in bottles at an Amazon facility, all of that. But at the end of the day, when you create a business and you create jobs and you create an infrastructure, you're providing an enormous tax benefit to the government. I reminded of something that Steve Jobs said. Do you remember this? Back when he was going to the city council of Cupertino to get approval to build the brand new spaceship, which is Apple's new campus in Cupertino, right? The massive circular structure. And he was getting approval, and it was going to, of course, think about the thousands of people that would move to this area, right, and provide an enormous tax benefit to that area, right, increasing the overall tax benefit and the welfare of that entire city and infrastructure. And somebody on the board asked Steve Jobs at the time, "Hey, are you guys gonna pay an additional city tax?" Like they were asking, "Are you gonna pay additional taxes on the taxes you're already paying?" He's like, "No," and he answered it very like in a very typical Steve Jobs way. He's like, "No, but I think the enormous taxes that we're bringing to this town that's sufficient," because that's what they want to do. They want to play this game. These politicians, of course, want to play this game publicly and try to curry favor with their base by saying, "We're going to go after the billionaires. You know, we're going after Elizabeth Warren. We think Elon Musk should pay his fair share." And, absolutely the case. They should, if they're part of the economy, they're benefiting from the overall infrastructure of the U.S. government, and they absolutely should pay their fair share. That's absolutely the case. But using this as a means of like, this is how you're going to fix the world. This is how you're going to fix the U.S. economy. This is how you're going to fix inflation. This is how you're going to fix Americans who can't put food on the table. This is how you're going to fix high gas taxes, et cetera, is because you're going to tax billionaires. Like there's so many other things the White House could be doing right now. The president of the United States right now, President Biden, could absolutely be trying to pass, student debt. Student debt forgiveness. Yep. That's one piece, right?
Community college. Well, the thing is, the United States will definitely collect whatever else they can tax wealthy people on, but they won't actually be using it for social spending or social programs that the rest of us support.
Yeah, I mean, if our fiscal year, the federal deficit totaled $2.8 trillion, that's a $360 billion less than in 2020, according to the CBO. I mean, think about it, how much this economy, how much this federal government continues to print money and continues to put us further and further behind.
Yes.
And taxing billionaires is going to be your answer.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who, did really well with some of his investments and lives fairly financially independently. And he's like, "Well, I'm glad to pay more, for other people." I'm like, but other people are not getting what you're paying. You're paying for bombs and software bugs that allows us to hack other countries. You're not actually paying for social programs. Nobody has socialized medicine, right? Education is crap. What do you think you're paying for that you feel good about?
You're paying for the good healthcare or the good healthcare in the United States. Are you paying for the good food?
Medicare's terrible. System? If you actually study what it is you're paying for, you won't be that excited about it. And if you would like to educate yourself on exactly what the social programs are in the United States that you are paying into, you won't be super excited about what you're paying for. I know this is not a sexy book, but, if you want to talk about what your taxpayer dollars are giving you, I'm going to show you
the cover of a book.
No. Social Security, Medicare, and Government Pensions. Here's what the cover looks like. This is not sexy reading, you guys, but once you actually educate yourself, it actually is an interesting book. Once you read what it is that, the government spends its social programs are, you're not going to be very excited about your tax bill.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. She was reading this book here and she's like, "You won't believe what's hidden in this stuff." And I was like, "Oh, really? This is the kind of stuff
that I don't intend to live my retirement on Social Security and Medicare. And after reading this book, this is exactly why. This is exactly why you have to make plans to not be dependent on the government, because they suck.
Yeah.
this is my official review after studying what the government's retirement plans are, is they suck.
All right. Should we talk about the Oscars?
All right.
All right. So last night was the big Academy Awards. What number Academy Awards was it? I can't even keep track anymore.
I don't know.
Anybody
in
the
chat? I think it's more than five.
More than five? It's definitely more than five. There's more than five Academies awards, Academies awarded. This, of course, is the big one where all of these big media companies spend thousands of dollars, millions of dollars in advertisements and newspapers. Hey, pick me, pick our movie. We want to get the Academy Award for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting that this year represents the year when the Academy Awards, the films that were selected for Best Picture, they were like fewest viewership of like any movies in history. Like people don't hardly even see these movies that have been selected for Best Picture. A number of years ago, they expanded the categories to be like 10 movies in the Best Picture categories to encapsulate some of the more popular ones that people would go to the theaters and see.
Yes.
None of the theatrical release movies really are in this category at all. Almost all of them were streaming this year.
Yes, it was. Okay, I just did a quick Google search. It was the 94th annual Academy Awards.
And, you know, so it was a pared down event. It was normally, you know, they tried to trim it down. A lot of it was pre-recorded. They cut out like eight categories, like hair and makeup. I don't even know who hosted the thing. I know Chris Rock was there. We'll get to that in a moment.
It was a smorgasbord of hosts.
Okay. So there was no like Ellen hosting it.
It was
around.
Several hosts. They did like a relay race, like a pass of the baton.
So it was like a real catch all. And so the ratings, I think we have the ratings chart for last night.
This according to Nielsen. So for the Academy Awards, you see it's the dark blue. The Grammys are in gold and the Emmys are the light blue. And you notice all awards shows are trending down because we care so much less. Do you think this is because celebrity is diluted between like TikTok stars and now marquee actors, and just some people don't care so much about seeing, I do still, about seeing Sandra Bullock. But you know, more people would care about their favorite TikTokers.
Well, I also wonder how much this has to do less with like people not caring and the fact that it's not streamed online. It still goes to like one of the major networks. And so like the last time I turned on regular television was probably 10 years ago.
That's the question, right? I saw a lot of people saying, hey, why not just stream it on Netflix?
Right.
Like, you know, if Apple won for Best Picture last night, it was an Apple movie that mm-hmm. won for Coda, which won Best Picture. So this is the first time, like, here you have a computer company, like, is now the company that has the Best Picture. Maybe Apple, like, when it streams its events on Apple TV, one of their Apple events, launching new Apple, you know, iPhones and computers, put a little Oscar bug right there. Click on that. You can watch the Oscars streaming on Apple TV. Watch it on your Roku device. Watch it on your Google Play TV. Watch it on, to Philip's point, you know, watch it on Netflix.
Yes.
You probably have a much higher rated than people, because people don't have cable.
Right. Well, Therese in our chat says it's because it's too woke. And yes, I think that's also a problem, is that no one wants to tune in to celebrities lecturing you on how to behave or... You know,
There was all this talk about, like, there was Zelensky was going to have a Zoom meeting and pop in.
Right.
Like, hi, Hollywood. Just want to remind you we're at war and I'm Zelensky. You all love me. I'm your favorite actor. And I'm here in Hollywood. And I just want to thank you, all of you, for your support. You can go here to donate. Like we were wondering if that was going to happen. But
Who was the actor last year that said that?
A moment of silence last night. Mila Kunis, I think she's Ukrainian. She did a moment of silence for Ukraine and
for Syria too.
No, Syria, no.
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia, no.
Yemen, what's a Syria and Ethiopia?
Exactly.
I don't know what those are.
No, all we care about is Ukraine.
There was a movie about Syria recently that won an Oscar, wasn't there? I'm sorry, I don't know much about pop culture.
I don't know. You don't know much about pop culture.
I mean, I only know what's trending on the internet, and that Zendaya wore this super cute crop top with like a long sparkly. That's all I really know. I only pay attention to what I care about when it comes to that. Also, I went down a rabbit hole today about the slap, the Will Smith slapping Chris Rock for making fun of his wife. I thought that was super interesting, and I just wanted to see, like, basically what people were saying about that on Twitter.
So here's my favorite, by the way. We'll get to the video in a second here, but this was the New York Post headline, Best Smacked Her.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. All right. So what happened here? Well, I'll just sort of play it. The backstory is, if you don't know, Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife, has alopecia, which is...
it's an autoimmune disease, which sometimes can result in hair and skin
loss.
Loss. Yes.
Yes. And short hair, right? So...
Doesn't really result in short hair. She wears her hair short on purpose because it results in hair loss.
Okay.
Yes.
But that's the reason. She's not choosing this. This is not for a role. Anyway. So here was the moment last night. Chris Rock, I didn't even know he was going to be there. He's up there doing jokes and making fun of people, trying to do the Ricky Gervais play. And this was the moment. Let me see here. I have it over here.
Right there.
Yes, here it is. It is. The full one is right here. This is the full uncensored. So if you got kids in the room, this is the uncensored version of this. Grover, cover your ears.
So like that was really interesting. So the things that I continued to Google, right? Like, this has nothing to do with me. This is someone else's business. I could care less about the Oscars. But I just wanted to know, like, is that allowed? You can hit people now and no one takes him out of the theater, right? Because he's a nominee and would go on later to win. And apparently a lot of the news was that during the commercial break, Denzel Washington and... Bradley Cooper came over to like comfort him, like, oh, I'm so sorry you had that hard moment. You just hit somebody.
To comfort Will Smith
for having had to do that, I guess. It's such a perplexing thing because now everyone is trying to like pretend that you are on the side of whatever is the right thing, right? But the Academy Awards has a code of conduct, which they were all about signaling in 2017 in the wake of the Me Too movement. And they say it has to be a safe environment for everybody. We're tolerant of everybody. They did not create a safe environment when they let someone hit somebody else and then stay in the audience and come up and give a acceptance speech of the marquee award of the night.
Now, I had a moment where, like, okay, I'm watching this. I'm thinking, was this a put on? Is this all fake? You know, like, and then I'm like, well, no. First of all, it's live on ABC.
Yes.
Like, you're not swearing. I mean, first of all, it's broadcast television, so that would be a no-no right there.
Right. You can't say the F word.
So that struck me as, okay, I don't maybe believe that's going to happen. But what would be why would that be fake? Like, what would the benefit? I'm just looking at like what the benefit would be of that being fake. Like, this is not Borat moment.
Right.
Or Sacha Baron Cohen moment also, where he knocks the hilarious moment where he invites, like, I don't know. Remember that where he invited like his high school teacher out who is now in a wheelchair.
Uh huh.
And he like wheels her up and he, you know, she's flattered and he just wants to say thanks for being such an inspiration. And then like he wheels her kind of forward and she falls off the stage. And like, it's this whole thing where like, anyway, it was hilarious. I think it was, now maybe I'm wrong about that. Am I right about, or was that Jim Carrey? I don't know. I think it was Sacha Baron Cohen. Nevertheless, that was a funny moment.
I don't think you'd have to rewind the tape very far to find Will Smith making fun of people's hair. You watch a little Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He did that a lot. He made fun of Uncle Phil for being chubby. He made fun of, like, so, you know, jokes are on the table for Will Smith, who started as a comedian. And I don't think even discussing the merit of the joke at this point is worth doing, because it's just someone was allowed to get up, scream the F word, and physically assault someone else. You know, Janet Jackson was canceled for having someone else show her boob, right? She was not even the offender here, and she suffered many, many consequences, in my opinion, unmerited.
Justin Timberlake went on to be fine.
Yes.
Like, he's the one that physically ripped part of her wardrobe off. He had a great career after that.
Right. Yeah. I saw some people on Twitter saying, well, maybe he didn't know that Jada Pinkett Smith was suffering from this skin condition, which is, you know, again, fashion And the way you present at the Oscars is usually fair game. Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't know, right? But at the same time, someone else solved a problem with violence in a time when the United States is trying so hard to say we're nonviolent, right? We're not against violence. But our Best Actor recipient just punched out someone. He then sort of spoke around it in his speech, like, well, you know, I'm kind of a papa bear and this is what I do for my family. And I'm supposed to just let people say it doesn't hurt my feelings. And it does. There are other ways to
He said, you do crazy things for love. But also just think about, like, Hollywood loves to lecture the rest of us about peace, right? And forgiveness and kindness, right? And meanwhile, they make their money on the backs of massive war movies and all kinds of violence. And then they get up and lecture us about peace and anti-war, and we stand with Ukraine and all of these other things. And then your main Best Actor gets up and punches somebody in the face.
And you let him keep sitting there and, like, okay, that's fine. He's just going to keep sitting there, right? Like, I think this is a crazy example about how there's definitely rules for wealthy and famous people, and then there are rules for the rest of us.
Well, I mean, yeah, again, if this was anybody else, they'd be arrested, right? I mean, can you imagine just some random fan found the joke, like, troublesome?
You're right. If someone else who had just, like, walked off stage came up and slapped Chris Rock, they absolutely would be carted out of the stadium. But because he had a ticket, an invitation, right? I don't know. I think that this is completely unacceptable. And it's interesting to watch that #toxic masculinity is trending on Twitter. #maybeChrisRock. And then people are saying maybe he won't make fun of people anymore, or maybe he didn't know. For the most part, it's very this was out of line, Will Smith type thing. But Will Smith then did get to pose with his Oscar after this. He then did. In fact, I have a video here. He then did get to go to an after party and, you know, rap getting jiggy with it while everyone was partying with him. Like, this is okay, right? You hit somebody, we're okay with that.
Right.
So.
I don't know. I can't say about it.
I can't say I wouldn't do the same, though. Like, you know, just like thinking about, like, the years ago when my daughter put a little video on YouTube and somebody made fun of her hair because she had a side shave and she was self-conscious about it anyway. And my initial reaction was like, I want to find that person and slap them.
Yeah,
so, but that is assault. So let me tell you a silly little story.
It's also verbal. It is a verbal assault of, like, when you look at her face, it's not as though, like, just because the assault is physical, it has more lasting damage. What he said when you look at her reaction probably had far more lasting damage than a slap by Will Smith.
But she also is an actress who also presents herself in a public forum. She is a public figure. And, you know, the rules of engagement are different for a public figure. And,
But are you saying that what he said was okay?
I'm not saying that. But there's a lot of things that are said that are not okay.
Ricky Gervais would get up there and
would he have slapped Ricky Gervais for this?
Good question. And I don't know. Maybe Ricky Gervais.
Or did he feel empowered because?
I don't want to say Ricky Gervais is maybe a smarter comedian, but Ricky Gervais, I think the things that Ricky Gervais made fun of was really like the woke lecturing of Hollywood. That's the thing that Ricky Gervais mocked during the Golden Globes, you know, and the things that he did. It wasn't really about people's appearances, unless I'm wrong. I mean, maybe I am wrong, but maybe that was like the lowest common denominator to.
But again, there were plenty of jokes about appearances in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And he also was a comedian, and you're sitting in the front row knowing that, you know, again, you put yourself in a situation. I'm not saying that it's okay, but I'm saying that the person who actually hit somebody, that also is not okay. That should be an easy line, right? So for instance, when I was in the eighth grade, I was on a payphone calling my mom, asking if my friend could could sleep over. And this guy came up and he was big and he was like, get off the phone. I want to make a phone call. And this is when we didn't have cell phones. And he was like, get off the effing phone. And he was screaming at my friend who was at the time calling her mom. And I had a little baggie of Wheat Thins and I was like, don't say F at her. And I threw the Wheat Thins at it. And he slapped me straight across the face, like full on hit me, right? And I was so upset about it. And I was like, don't tell my parents. They're going to be really upset. My dad somehow got wind of it and called the guy's mom. And it's like, if he doesn't come over here and apologize, we will press charges because that is assault. So getting slapped across the face is absolutely assault. You can press charges against this because, so is this any different?
Well, it is different because it's on national television at an Oscar ceremony among two celebrities. So yes, it's totally different than
example setting.
I know exactly. I'm not defending it at all. I'm watching this curiously and watching how this unfolds in this sort of, you know, this sort of moment. Rock, though, declined to file a police report this morning.
Yes.
So he's not filing a police report for assault. Can you imagine that? Like Will Smith could have been locked up as a result. Like if he pressed charges.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I think that it's interesting for the Oscars, who is so virtue signaling now, right? To say we have a moment of silence because of violence in Ukraine, but we will allow violence to continue on the air.
I just, you know, the thing is too, like he's laughing, you know, like that's, I don't know. Like that's, to me, this whole thing.
I love you. G.I. Jane too.
Here's another thing that annoys me is that he does not have to speak for her. He didn't have to do this. She is a strong woman. She has a strong voice, a voice that I respect and appreciate. And she could have used her medium to say, I didn't appreciate that joke. It hurt my feelings. And we all could have said, yeah, okay. We don't like, you know, if these things hurt your feelings, he shouldn't have said it. But at this point, that conversation is gone. He took the reaction from her, like, oh, let me speak on, like, women don't need that. And she especially doesn't need that.
But be honest, wouldn't you have appreciated that?
No.
So I saw a lot of people like, well, yeah, that's a man defending her woman. You know,
no, this woman. What year is this? No, that's a different thing.
I'm just saying. I see a lot of the people saying that.
You can defend somebody with words in a way that's very different than, like, yeah. We've talked about many times how, you know, you used to, when I would nurse in public and you would sort of walk the perimeter like a lion, like no one's going to say anything about my baby eating in public, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted you to hit somebody who would have said something about me nursing in public. I would have wanted you to say, my baby's eating, like this is my baby who needs, like she has a right to nurse in public with words, fine.
When my daughter was still an infant, we all went to Indiana, and my ex-wife was nursing, and we were in a like an IHOP or something like that, or like a Bob Evans or whatever, and there was a guy that was like clearly upset that she was breastfeeding in public, and mm-hmm. that guy, my back was to that guy, but David was looking at the guy's reaction, and David actually stood up like at the table and just started yelling at the guy. He's like,
oh,
if
really?
You're so bothered, yeah, he just went off, and I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah,
say words.
Yeah, say words about my child breastfeeding, you know, with my wife in public, like that would I have flipped out about. But yeah, I wouldn't have hit somebody.
Okay, so, good.
Anyway, again, just like a broader conversation though about these award ceremonies, and like that was like the moment though. It's like, come on, to me that might have been like
that's the jumping of the shark.
That was if it hadn't already jumped the shark, that was it to me. Just put these award ceremonies out of their misery, or move them over to streaming services so people can watch them or something. I don't know. To me, this is like the death knell for these things. And you know, you got to think like Apple too. Like Apple's like, okay, we're putting all this money behind these projects. We really want Apple TV to be this huge success. We're really pushing for Coda to win the best picture, the best actor, the whole nine yards. And then Will Smith wins for Coda, and it's totally soured.
He didn't win for Coda.
Didn't he? I thought he won.
He's not in that movie. So you see how much.
Sorry. I thought he won for.
He won for playing the father of the Williams sisters.
Oh, Coda won Best Picture. I'm sorry. I, for some reason, I thought he was in that. Yeah, yeah.
We're not hip on our movies.
This goes to show you, I haven't seen any of this year's Best Picture nominees movies. Have you? I don't think we saw any of them.
Coda.
Was Finch, the Tom Hanks movie, was that nominated?
I don't know. Let's not go on because we're going to show that we're...
We haven't seen
Yeah,
yeah, but to me, the Oscars makes as much sense as the Super Bowl, and I don't watch either. Like, it's basically the same thing. It's just super fans of one thing, like, all, like, cheering on their favorites, and I've never understood the whole thing, so I just don't.
Well, I like the idea of, like, in-the-moment competition. That's why I want to watch tennis, right? Like, you've trained for this, you show up, let's see it, right? But the Oscars is not that. That's like you put your heart and soul into a project, and then you put on a pretty dress and see if the other people liked it. Like, that's a whole different thing. Do you like any competition? The Olympics?
Not really. I mean, I don't watch the Olympics. I mean,
I'm
not a
pool.
Big,
you play pool play for pool. Competition.
Yes, I do. But if you ever see me play pool and how I interact with my opponents, I don't care. I don't care if I win or lose. I'm more interested in my own shooting. But
yeah,
Would you watch it on TV? No, I mean, I'll sometimes watch like the like old like competitions and stuff like that just to watch certain people and how they shoot. But it's more of a learning thing than I don't fanboy. I couldn't name a pool player. Mm. So
yeah,
it's not my thing. I'm actually not a huge competition fan because I feel like, you know, like. In school, they say, like, you know, well, doing high school sports teaches you like this. I see it more as like teaching xenophobia. I'm more apt, like, if you want to teach people something, like have them build an aqueduct together so that the people have to work together as opposed
that
to.
That would make for amazing TV.
Yes, I imagine. That's why I'm not a TV producer.
That's amazing. I guess I get inspired by people who have trained for something and then I want to see them like do it. You know, that's why I like Top Chef.
Yeah,
like,
and I can
you've trained
appreciate
for this.
Yeah,
and
I can
then let's see
that.
What you got.
I can appreciate like people being at the top of their game and stuff like that. Like, I do appreciate that and I will watch it. It's the fandom around it that I just don't like, just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I get you. Like, I used to have this tradition where I would go to spring training with my father, and then afterwards I'd say, "Do you want to stick around and get autographs?" He goes, "No, we're here to watch baseball, not worship humans." And then we just leave.
Yeah. That's why I like to so one of my, like, I don't know, hobbies or second lives or whatever is I'm involved with a play group in Portland, and so like I'll sometimes direct plays, and it's like I like that because it's everybody coming together putting on the
That's
same
fun.
Show and yeah. So it's like there's no real competition.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. All right, we're going to move on to what's trending here. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, which you only have a few more days to take advantage of this stock bonus right now. NIO is the stock. Get 5 free stocks plus that bonus stock of NIO when you sign up for free. Many of you, I've heard from many of you who have signed up and you've said, thanks for letting me know about this. You are welcome. Just go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo in order to get those bonuses. You get the bonus just for signing up. And then when you make your initial deposit, you can put like $100 in there, whatever, in your account. You'll get those bonus stocks and you're entered for a chance to get up to $7,000 in stocks. Now, even if you do nothing else with the account, right? If you just sit on it, and you want to study about how to trade, you can do that too. In the meanwhile, you've just made some free money with these stocks. And the stocks, obviously, your value in a company that you're getting for free. What I love about Moomoo is they have a better trading experience than other platforms. They have extended trading hours. They have great execution prices, zero commission trades. They also give you free level 2 data. If you understand trading, you understand how important that is because you can really watch the status of a stock if you're day trading by how many people are currently buying or selling. You need to study level 2 market data in order to be an effective day trader. And also they have great courses. So click on the Learn button and go to their lessons. They have free courses right there. So just open your account, get your free stocks. Don't make any trades yet. If you don't know what you're doing, don't waste your money. Don't, you know, do anything stupid. And just start taking some of their courses so you can learn. That's very, very important. Learn, educate yourself. And they have them all for free right here, just right inside of their platform. Again, totally free. You can use it on your desktop, your PC, your Mac, your iPhone, your Android device. They have great apps. So check them out for free. Go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo today. Start trading. Get those free bonus stocks and just educate yourself financially right now. All right. It's time to talk about what's trending on the internet. Is there anything trending bigger than Will Smith?
No. Pretty much the top 20 things on Twitter are all about this smack.
Yeah, Reddit too. I opened my Reddit this morning and I was like, okay, I guess this is it. This is all we have.
And what is the general sentiment on Reddit?
I mean, it's Reddit, so it's all of it.
All of it.
Like everything we discussed and more. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no general consensus, really. But
there's a guy, by the way, there's another Will Smith on Twitter who's trending today. This is not Will Smith. He's like, oh, shit. He's like, real talk. I'm not the person you're upset with or happy with. I make podcasts and video games for a living. He's like a white guy with a red beard. He's like, this is not me. He's like, at the risk of making people pissed off at me instead of that other guy, the world would be a better place if we stopped answering words with violence.
There are some funny ones, you know, like I sort of took it seriously and then I went to not taking it seriously. And I am enjoying the memes, such as the one I sent you of the Andrew Garfield. There was, you know, reaction, Andrew Garfield checking his text to see if Will Smith slapped Chris Rock in other universes too. He's texting other Peter Parkers. That one. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
That's funny.
So, yeah, you can have fun. I mean, we might as well have a little fun with it after we've discussed it seriously. Okay, but Jeff Carson is trending because the U.S. country music star died at the age of 58 from a heart attack. Chris Wallace is trending because he gave his first extensive interview about leaving Fox News. He was trying to support his new show on CNN Plus, which is a subscription service, but really all the New York Times could do was ask him about leaving Fox. And it's a funny interview if you read it on New York Times, because he's like, well, on CNN Plus, I'm doing this. And they're like, right. But what about Fox? Well, I'm excited about this. And he's like, yes, but what about Fox? Specifically, he did say, though, he just got uncomfortable with people starting to question the truth. He said, such as who won the 2020 election, was January 6th an insurrection? He said he found that unsustainable. And so he did spend a lot of 2021 looking to see if there was a different place for him to do his job. He says some people might have drawn the line earlier at a different point. He says, but I think Fox has changed over the course of the last year and a half. And he can certainly understand why some people would say you should have left sooner. And he says, well, some people can say I was a slow learner, but here I am now on CNN Plus. He's not going to do politics. He's going to do sort of featurey pieces like his father did, you know, some kind of current events, but also like celebrities, things like that.
Vartan K says, Clayton, did you know Chris Wallace? Yes, I worked with Chris Wallace. I would see him because he was in our Washington bureau. I worked in the New York City offices of Fox News.
He did a tease, what they call in the business, a tease every Sunday. So Clayton hosted Fox and Friends on Sundays. And so Chris Wallace would have to do at the end of Fox and Friends, say, hey, this is what's coming on Fox News Sunday. And then a little piece about what he thought about what major politicians were saying. I do think he was a good addition to the Sunday talk shows if you like that kind of thing. And he is, there's a hole there where he was. But now I think his contract is that he can't do a competing show, so he won't, and he doesn't want to do politics.
By the way, no one is going to watch CNN Plus. I mean, no one watches
$6.99 a month for CNN.
No one's watching CNN. No one's going to pay $6.99 a month to watch some crappy streaming service.
Well, especially if you liked Chris Wallace, which I did.
But did you like him enough to pay $6.99 a month?
Well, you're not going to get that Chris Wallace. You're going to get non-politics Chris Wallace.
Like where he's going to make soup with his wife. Like he has a book. He has a book on soup.
Right. Maybe I would if he were doing Sunday talk show type Chris Wallace, but not unknown Chris Wallace.
And he also likes baseball. So he's going to go and do like interviews with like baseball stars and talk about soup.
Okay.
Like, fine. Like I like Chris. Nice guy to me. I would run into him at the Democratic and Republican national conventions and stuff when he was in New York City and stuff. Nice guy, mostly. But I'm sorry. Like I'm not paying $6.99 for CNN Plus.
I think like for me, I'm just getting subscription burnout. Like everything is a subscription at this point.
Oh, well, we should tell everyone, if you'd like to become a subscriber of our show, you can do so by going to morninginvest.com/join and becoming a subscriber. No,
it's
I agree with you.
It's not $6.99.
No, it's 99. You can do it for as low as 99 cents a month to support independent journalism. But yeah, I mean, we've got what? Like Disney Plus. We've got Netflix. we've got, maybe you're a Hulu subscriber, or maybe you've got, I don't know, maybe you're into Paramount. Maybe
we do the whole shebang with Apple that includes fitness and all of that stuff.
You can see, like, I'm a,
I can't watch the new Star Trek show because I'm tired of it. You know, so it's like, I'm just
because
like, I'm
it's on CBS
or it's Paramount Plus.
It's Paramount Plus, I think. Yep.
Then you got Peacock, and you got all of these things.
Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll. Yeah, that's one. Crunchyroll is one. Right. What is Crunchyroll? That's like concerts. Well,
no, it's like there's Crunchyroll and Funimation are both the anime ones, but I had offered to get them for my daughter, and she's like, no, that's okay. So
there's all of these services. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of all of them. So anyway, that's why I just, you know, pirate everything.
No, you don't. No, don't say that. People lose their jobs for saying things like that.
I don't have a job. I'm my own boss.
Right. You could get canceled
Clint,
for saying
fired.
Like that.
No, I don't pirate.
We don't pirate.
I used to, back in the day, did the Napster thing.
Stop it.
I tried the Napster thing. I tried it for like a little while and it like destroyed my computer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a great way to download spyware.
Yeah, I mean, it literally destroyed my computer back in, I had one of those crappy Dell PCs back in like the early 2000s or late, it destroyed my computer, so never again.
All right, so. Mother's Day is trending because that was yesterday in the UK, so I hope UK mothers had a wonderful Mother's Day, maybe got some rest. And finally, Phil Collins is trending because he bid farewell to his fans in a farewell concert this weekend in London. He's 71 years old and he has suffered from many health issues. So I don't think this is one of the Barbara Streisand type farewell tours. This is really, he can't do it anymore, farewell tour. We saw him in 2017 and he had just broken an ankle. And so he has been performing seated for more than 5 years.
Yes. Yeah. When he came out, he walked out with a cane and he said, and he was funny about it. He's like, I had this surgery on this ankle and so I'm going to be sitting. I hope you don't mind.
He actually gave a great concert, even though he was seated. He still, like, you can see he plays tambourine. He still rocks out in a chair.
He doesn't need to stand. That's the thing. He plays piano. He plays the drums. Both of those things you sit for. So, you know, other than 1980s when he would just be standing and other people were playing, that's Phil Collins. Angel Baby Card says, who is that? That's Phil Collins, baby. I love Phil Collins.
Yes. And he has been, as of late, touring with his son as the drummer. So you still get a Collins who is at the
I think it's Nick
drum
Collins.
Set. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we saw him, yeah, because he was out front, seated, mm-hmm. and then his son, you know, like in the air tonight, playing that. And he plays that didn't like, and his son played that. It was pretty cool to see. And then his son also is a great piano player, mm-hmm. so he sat down and sang next to him at the piano and the whole thing. And I love Phil Collins.
So apparently, it was an emotional farewell. He says he's got to go get a real job, as a joke.
Well, he just did the tour, the I'm Not Dead Yet tour. Which is the one you and I saw him on, the I'm Not Dead Yet tour.
Yes.
There was some word that Genesis might be coming back to do another tour, but we'll see.
Well, some Genesis members joined him for this final concert, but I don't think he's able to tour much more. He just can't handle it. I actually had a friend who dated Phil Collins. It was a news anchor that I worked with, and this is not either of those people. I just want to tell this story quickly because... she said that his hearing was really messed up as well from all of those years, you know, touring live concerts. So I think he's suffering. He's done enough. He's given us a great catalog. He can rest.
All right. So this was trending also.
This also was trending. Drummer for the Foo Fighters, Taylor Hawkins, died at the age of 50 over the weekend.
Yeah, an amazing drummer. So really sad. They were on tour, right? They were on tour.
We don't know why, right? As far as I could tell.
They were in Colombia, right? Yeah, they were in Colombia. And so they were on tour and they were scheduled to perform in Bogota when he died. And they said they had an emergency call. He was complaining of chest pains. And there were some questions as to whether that they found, according to the attorney general, 10 substances were found, including antidepressants, all sorts of different drugs that were there, unfortunately. So sad there.
All right. Do we have any super chats before we wrap up here?
See, Rumble.
We do. Going all the way back. I think we did some of these, but let's run through them all because I don't remember which ones I threw and which ones I didn't. So we had Rumpel Gold with $4.99 super chat. Love you, Clayton and Natalie and David. You're my celebrity stars, and I am starstruck.
Aw, thank you. No need. Don't put us at the Oscar level.
$5 super chat from HemiLife05. We'll never be able to watch y'all live again if you make it that time for Eastern. Excuse me. I got all choked up about that. Yep.
Okay.
No, just a catch in my throat.
I apologize for those of you who the time change doesn't work for. Hopefully, if you maintain a show membership, we'll do some other little special pop-ins on your schedule. So stay tuned for those kind of things.
Excuse me. Wait.
Are you all right? Do you want to show them to me and I'll read them?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Put them up on the screen. Will Smith versus Rock in WrestleMania from Paul M. Yes, that also is a meme that, and already there are even posters online. Super chat from Jessica. Word never equal physical. Bottom line. Are you
words
saying
words never equal like physical abuse? Bottom yeah. Line.
So he. Are you saying then he had to get physical because words wouldn't have done it, or words are better than physical? I'm not quite sure.
I think words are better than physical is what I'm getting from that.
Okay, that's sort of what I think too. From Tony Jocelyn, I wonder what was Chris's reaction. He has not spoken publicly yet. It's only Monday morning. I'm sure he'll sit down with Oprah.
Right.
Tyrell
ML.
I kind of hope Joe Rogan and other comedians go to make fun of the thing in defense of Chris Rock. I did see some comedians, for instance, who's the one you like, Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah.
On Twitter was like, this was completely out of line and unacceptable. I'm horrified. I hope that they punish Will Smith. Mm. He came out swinging. I haven't seen very many others.
Yeah, but I wouldn't see Jim Gaffigan like making a joke like that. That's just way not his yeah. style.
He would about himself.
Yes, like definitely.
Yeah.
He's definitely self-deprecating, but I don't. Yeah. I couldn't see him like going after somebody. And then we had this one from Grim Skull.
Thank you, Grim. Yeah, we were just talking about the Foo Fighters who passed, Taylor Hawkins who passed away.
And I have my voice back. I was like almost coughed, and so I muted it, took a sip of tea, and then like I started choking on the tea. And so it was like
pipes twisted.
Yep.
Marty Marks says, I'm used to listening while I drink my coffee and with my Grover mug in the morning. Thank you, Marty. Well, you can drink some afternoon tea with us then.
Tea time.
You know, we have so many people. It's funny because we were doing two live shows at one point in the morning and then in the evening. And the evening show, the numbers were way higher for like viewers. And there were a lot of people that were saying, you know, I just don't get to watch you in the morning because I'm running to work or I'm at work. I can't. I end up watching you later at night. This is great for me. It just makes a lot of sense for our family. And just getting the show ready. So we're gonna go with it. You know,
we're gonna give it the whole heave ho.
You know, and this is one of those things you can't really like do it half ass. You know, I guess you can't, as my dad used to say, don't do something half ass.
I suppose.
You know, so anyway.
All right. Well, thank you for your attention. We'll see you all. We'll be all here all the week in the morning. So stay with us all week and then we'll see you next week in the afternoon.
Yeah, same time tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time, guys. And we will see you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.